Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, feel free to call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host in the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, Zane.
Good morning, Doctor.
And we also have Dr. Katzen with us today.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great day. Boy, did you guys see all the rain? Oh, my goodness. It's so nice.
It's a great day to take your duck for a walk.
My little Dotsons, you know. I had a little Dotson. He was so funny. I had him for 14 years, little Diesel. And unfortunately, little Diesel did not like to get his little feet wet,
aww,
you know, those short little feet. And when it rained, he was not a happy camper.
The guys we have now are okay. They love to be in the water.
Oh, yeah. They like getting wet and they run around and they want to just play. They're like little kids.
You should take some video and put it on YouTube. That would be a cute video.
Of the Dotsons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
think animals are so wonderful. So wonderful. And everyone out there, welcome again to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. For people who really, and I have a little cough because I have asthma, for everyone out there who maybe is just tuning in, I am a family physician. And I am very proud to say the first woman to grow up in Charlotte County and come back and practice medicine. So I have roots here. My family has been in Charlotte County since 1960. And so it's a long time. And I'm very proud to say, too, that I have my own office. So if you come to see me, you'll be seeing me. You're going to be seeing a doctor, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Now, I will tell you, I have the most wonderful staff, and they are kind and just great. So, and they really, really worry about the patient. And I want you to know that my office number is 941-625-1990. So, I have my boards in lipids. I'm a lipidologist. Again, people say, what are lipids? Well, that's cholesterol, triglycerides. It's the fats and what causes heart attack, stroke. I'm also have a prevention center to help prevent diabetes and heart attack and stroke. I'm also a menopause specialist. All right, ladies, you got those hot flashes? Oh, boy, I know about those. There is help out there. And I know because I'm in that age group, too. So I take care of women and also women in menopause and men in andropause. Some people call that low T, low testosterone, right?
Well, maybe it's low testosterone. Maybe it's something else.
Yes, but we look at your hormones, those great messengers in your body that tell your body what to do. So we are trying to balance your hormones with a great orchestra of looking at your hormones and seeing what is it that you may need help with. Now, I did a wonderful webinar this week. And I've spoken about Dr. Kathy Maupin. Dr. Maupin is in St. Louis. Dr. Maupin has written a book called The Female Secret Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. And Dr. Maupin is incredible. And she talks about her own experiences with being on testosterone and what happened in her life after she had a hysterectomy where the ovaries were removed.
And no more estrogen, but still lots of testosterone.
Yeah, she didn't have, no, she had no low testosterone.
Right. With the ovaries out, you have no testosterone and no estrogen.
So she was hormone deficient. And she talks about the importance of getting that balance back. That's why her practice is called BioBalance. So it's very, very important that I really recommend you ladies out there get that book. It's a wonderful book, and it really hits home for women, especially to know that testosterone is an important hormone for women, too.
It's hard to accept.
It's hard
for a lot of ladies to accept the fact that testosterone is so important to them.
It is so important. So I want everyone to really get this book. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. I'm telling my patients, you know, when I come and I talk about a book, I didn't write the book. I think the book is great. I've read the book, and I get no financial benefit from it. I am here to help disseminate information. I want everyone to understand more. And I have a mission. Yes, I do have a mission. My mission is to help you understand more about your body, about your health. So I read this really, I was reading this email from somebody. Actually, it was a company. And the email ended with, "How can I make your life better today?" Well, everyone listening, if you listen to the program, I can help make your life better today. So we have a great show today. We're going to talk about, has anybody seen that commercial? Hi, my name is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, T-R-I-A-N-A, and I have COPD. Have you seen that commercial?
Oh, it's, yeah, with the one with the elephant?
The one with the elephant? Mm-hmm. Anyways, the take-home message is we're going to talk about today about COPD. No, I don't have COPD. I'm just giving you the example of that's what our topic is. It is a great show. But we're going to start off with, and I know I'm having patients. I had a lady this week. She says, "Oh, my husband loves listening to your show." And I said, "Oh, you know, you can call in 206-1580. And she said, "Oh, he's too shy, but he loves to listen." Well, if you want to call in, it's 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. So call with your questions. You know, we have a website, too, that you can email me. Ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. So if you're too shy to talk on the air, you can just email me. So basically, going back to this lady said, "Oh, it's a great show, but he doesn't want to interrupt." It's okay. You can call, ask questions. We have Dr. Katzen here. I'm here. Zane is helping us out with the boards, the electronics. He's the electronic whiz here. Right?
Yeah, I look like it. I'm nerdy.
Okay. So, everyone, let's start off with, I kind of think, Dr. Katzen, this is really good. The what body part am I? Okay, here it goes, everybody.
I think this is the hardest one you've had so far.
Yeah, it's a little hard. Okay.
But you have to make them tougher because
yeah,
everybody, the audience is guessing it too easily.
I know. The audience is doing great. By the way, I want to thank everyone out there who is listening. It just gives me such pleasure when I run into people and say, "I love your show. I hear your show." It's just so wonderful, and I want to thank you. So, what body part am I? This is the final place where oxygen goes in and carbon dioxide goes out. Blood comes in blue and goes out red. Without me, you are dead. What part of the lung am I? So I kind of make it harder, but I kind of put you in the right direction. So if everybody listen, you can call in at 206-1580 and you can guess what body part am I. So what are we going to talk about? Woo! All right, Zane, don't give it away. He guessed it. No. Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about COPD. And unfortunately, I will have to say that it is a global problem. COPD. In fact, You know, when I prepare for my programs, I use a lot of different websites, information. We've talked about this, the NIH, PubMed, Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins. And here is the my basis of the program is on the GOLD, the Global Initiative for Chronic Obstructive Lung Disease. So I think there's a lot of myths out there of what is COPD. COPD is a common, very common, preventable and treatable disease. So if you think you have COPD, you need to get examined and checked out. Why? Because it's a persistent airflow limitation.
And it's progressive, too.
And it's progressive. And there's an increased inflammation in the airways. And the most important thing to understand that it can be secondary to noxious particles or gases. Now, Dr. Katzen, you were talking about smoke.
Smoke. Smoke is particulate matter. That's why we can smell things, is because we have these sensors in the top of our nose that sense this particulate matter. So smoke, if you inhale smoke on a regular basis, you get these noxious particles deep into your lung, and the lung reacts to it as an irritant, and that's one of the underlying causes of COPD.
Yes. Now,
people who work in places that are very smoky, it may have noxious fumes like gases, like chlorine gas or other type gases, as well as particulate matter like people who work in coal mines where there's fine particles of coal and silica, as well as people who worked, ship fitters who were working about asbestos, and those particles, when inhaled, are very irritating.
Also, farmers who work with crop residue, that also particulate matter. And, you know, we always also know that the cigarette smoking.
That's correct.
Cigar smoking, tobacco.
And anything that you breathe in that's not natural is an irritant.
And air pollution. So this is very important to understand. Some people were farmers and they worked with crop residue. They get.
Right. Have you ever seen a combine going through the field? Even on on the movies, you can see there's a lot of dust being kicked up, and those people who would work either alongside it or inside one of the tractors that wasn't air conditioned, where the air was filtered, they would inhale those particles. The other area where agricultural products are inhaled in silos and other where wheat and other grains are bagged, there's always a little bit of residue coming through the edge of the bag, and that's actually called bagastosis.
Okay. Well, and another thing that happens in some third world countries, they use indoor fires or what's called biomass fuels. And that particulate matter from the smoke of where they cook in their homes also can cause COPD.
Yes.
So it's important to know that even if you are not a smoker, you can get COPD. So what is COPD? What does all this cause? It causes lung tissue destruction.
Right, from chronic inflammation. Scarring.
From scarring. And what is that? That is emphysema. And these effects of these particulate matter also causes your defense mechanisms in your lungs. They just don't work as well, causing what we call scar tissue fibrosis in your small airways.
That's right. On the chest x-ray, we will see signs of what we call interstitial pulmonary fibrosis, which are just fine streaks of scar tissue that extend from the central portion of the lung to the periphery of the lung, to the edge of the lung.
So what does this cause, the COPD? This causes a progressive airflow limitation. It causes air trapping. So one of the symptoms of COPD is shortness of breath. And we know that the more exacerbations, in other words, when you kind of, you know, you have COPD, you go along and you get really, really sick. The more often you get really sick and you have other diseases on top of it, like diabetes, congestive heart failure.
Sure. I mean, after all, if you reduce the ability of the lung to expand and contract and to exchange air, and then if you have something like congestive heart failure that allows fluid to come into the lung, in addition to that, you further compromise the ability of the lung to exchange air air and carbon dioxide, which we produce by our metabolic processes.
We know that there is decreased gas exchange. Now, everyone here, if you've ever felt a problem where you couldn't breathe, you know that it is a terrible, terrible feeling, because your body needs oxygen and you get that oxygen through your lungs. And then you have to throw out carbon dioxide. So that's very important.
Of course. And that's the more disease you have, the less elasticity the lung has. And these this obstruction causes air spaces to develop that do not communicate with the bronchial tree. And those are called bullae, B-U-L-L-A-I. And some of these air spaces are very small, and they're right along the lining of the lung, and those are called blebs. But in either case, neither the bullae nor the blebs really regularly communicate with the inspiratory and expiratory effort.
Like Swiss cheese? Does it look like Swiss cheese?
Looks a little bit like Swiss cheese.
Holes in the lungs.
Right. But sometimes the bullae can get so large that they can actually compress a lobe of the lung.
Or they can open up, right?
Well, the most common thing to open up is the blebs, which are just along the lining of the lung, and then they can cause a pneumothorax, which is air between the lung and the chest wall.
So, and that is very dangerous.
Right, because that will cause even the collapse of the lung, and and that further compromises one's ability to breathe.
So everyone out there, if you have a question, please, 206-1580. Do I need to read what body part am I again? Because no one's called in. Should we read it again?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
And we might be giving it away in the program, too. This is the final place where oxygen goes in and carbon dioxide goes out. Blood comes in blue and goes out red. Without me, you are dead. What part of the lung am I? So, 206-1580. Everyone out there who's listening. So we know that everybody kind of gets confused about COPD and chronic bronchitis. Chronic bronchitis, by definition, means you have a chronic cough for 3 months out of the year for 2 years in a row. Let's not mix that up. And we're going to go in further detail about COPD. And we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hi. I would like to take a guess on the body part.
Yes.
Could it be a vein or capillary, maybe?
Oh no, almost. It's a part of the lung. But that's a good close. You're close.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Good job, Dorothy.
How do you know who that was?
Oh, I've been friends with Dorothy for years.
Oh, okay.
She is a really, really nice lady.
Oh, thank you. You know, I always thought that maybe it'd be nice if people gave their first names and you could still be, you know, anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for calling and listening. If Dorothy is your name. I love that name, Dorothy, because my favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz. I love that movie. Anyways, okay. So we are talking about COPD, right? COPD. So, unfortunately, again, COPD. It's more common in men, but women, we're getting it more too. Why are women getting it more? Because they are smoking more. You know, it just kills me when I go out. Last night we went out to dinner and I see these really young people and smoking. And I'm like, oh my goodness, don't you ever watch television, listen to the radio, and know how bad cigarette smoking is? And I see them smoking and it just, it kills me to see. Because, you know, some of the older people, they didn't know they became addicted to it. I mean, now everybody knows that cigarette smoking is bad for you.
That's right. And also, I think the women are in the workplace now, in places where... Where jobs are only almost exclusively held by men, so women are working side by side with men in environments that are not necessarily as healthy as they should be.
And in the old days, smoking was glamorized in the movies and on television and commercials until, you know, sometime in the 80s, they banned TV commercials with that. You know, if you go on YouTube, you can see an actual cigarette commercial featuring Fred and Barney from the Flintstones.
No.
They're both smoking Winston, well, you know, the cigarettes.
Well, Camels used to talk about the T-zone, and they would have a doctor on the commercial.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well.
Well, we knew then, we had some idea then that there was something wrong, but I think the evidence really came, the solid evidence really came later.
You know, and I help my patients to quit smoking. But again, I know it's very hard because it's so highly addicting. So what are the risk factors for COPD? One of them we just talked about, occupation. That is a risk factor. Smoking cigarettes. Also, for those people who live in Colorado, smoking marijuana.
Right.
Marijuana can cause COPD.
Right. Anything, any kind of particulate matter you inhale has to come into your body, and it comes into your body in the same place as the body part we're talking about here, and compromises the ability to exchange CO2 for oxygen in that same place.
So there are also genetic conditions that predispose family history, childhood early infections. There's a genetic disease called alpha-1 antitrypsin. If you are deficient in this, then you are also prone to COPD. Again, when we talk about pathology, what is actually happening in the tissue? What is happening in the lung? Inflammation, boy, that's a very important word. Fibrosis, scar
right.
tissue.
Well, you can imagine that where we exchange oxygen, where we exchange carbon dioxide for oxygen in the blood has got to be a very, very thin membrane. And if we irritate things and have scar tissue, then we compromise that membrane and its ability to do the exchange that we all need to be able to have enough oxygen to survive.
And those small airways also produce secretions that, guess what? They can't eliminate. So all this fire, you know, all this burning, all this irritation is causing this inflammation, scar tissue. I mean, if you were to look at it under a microscope, you could see this. The bottom line is it's causing air trapping. There's an obstruction of your airways. Remember, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's progressive, and air gets trapped, causing, as we said, causing hyperinflation, which Dr. Katzen, you can see on the chest x-ray,
yeah,
right?
You can see hyperinflation on the chest x-ray. You can see the scarring, and you can see the bulli and the blebs. Now, the blebs that are just under the pleural lining are a little bit more difficult to see on a routine chest x-ray, but on CT scanning, they're very obvious.
And not all patients who have COPD produce a lot of secretions. Not all patients. Some do, but not all patients.
Well, eventually you'll lose your ability to produce those secretions because those secretions come from the lining of the bronchus. And so, also there's little tiny hairs that bring those secretions up so you can cough them out.
But if they're burnt off or irritated, they're not there. So what happens when you get COPD? You can also get pulmonary hypertension.
You get pulmonary hypertension because the scarring causes increased resistance in the lung and the right ventricle, the right side of the heart that pumps blood into the pulmonary arteries, has more work to do because there is increased resistance. It's just as if you clamp down on a hose and you need to have more and want to get the same volume out of the hose, you need to have greater pressure.
So then there's an elevation between the pressure of the heart and the lungs.
That's correct. So the heart tries to compensate by making the muscle thicker. But that is only a partial compensation because eventually that thickness will actually impair the ability of the ventricle to contract.
So isn't it incredible how everything has a balance? Our bodies are made to work better. Are made so well, but we can also, what are some of the triggers for what we call exacerbations of COPD? There's bacteria, there's virus, there's environmental. We also know that it causes increased shortness of breath, and pneumonia can also cause increased shortness of breath. Pulmonary embolus, a blood clot that goes to the lungs and causes the lungs not to work.
Well, the blood clot is obviously what happens there is that the blood supply to a certain portion of the lung is blocked by a clot.
So the lung doesn't function.
Yeah, so if you can't get blood, you can't exchange carbon dioxide for oxygen.
So all these are really important. We also know that these exacerbations, if you have other illnesses or diseases, it makes your COPD worse.
Well, that's what we talked about before, congestive heart failure, localized pneumonia. We'll take a segment of the lung or a whole lobe of the lung out of the circulation. And as for people who are marginal, who have COPD, it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. A small compromise will have a great clinical effect.
So let's take our break, and then we're going to find out, do you think you might have COPD?
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is trianapreventioncenter.com. That's TRIANA Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show, and it covers a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call us here on the program, our numbers are 941-206-1580 and toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning again, and welcome back, everyone. Oh boy, this is really a very interesting and great show because of the prevalence of this disease, COPD. So we've already been discussing about this, and we know, and we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Good morning. I've got a question. It's a little bit off the topic that you're discussing.
Yes.
And I thought maybe you could give me a quick, easy answer. A friend of mine has got kidney failure, and he's going in for dialysis. A young man in his 40s.
Yes.
Can that be a permanent solution if his kidneys fail? Can dialysis always work, or does there come a point where it just doesn't seem to get the job done anymore?
Well, when I answer that, Dr. Katzen?
Kidney failure in a young person is unusual, and there's got to be some underlying cause. But if the kidneys fail in a young person, usually in this day and time, that person becomes a candidate for a transplant, and people can have a normal life with a transplant.
Yes, a lot of people can have a very great life with a transplant. So I hope that answers your question. But if the most important thing is finding out the cause, and if the cause, you can't reverse the cause, then you are on dialysis, and hopefully he'll get a kidney.
Well, I don't know that he's a candidate for that because of prior drug use and some other issues as he was a young man growing up.
Oh.
But my main concern is he seems to be failing, and he's in dialysis several times a week, but he doesn't seem to be improving.
Well, dialysis is a life-saving procedure, and people frequently don't have an absolutely peak function while they are on dialysis. But again, the cause of the failure should be investigated, because even if you have, for instance, if you have a donor kidney and there was some intrinsic metabolic problem, it's going to affect the donor kidney too.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question, and good luck to you, and thank you for calling. What's your first name?
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye. Okay. Wow, that must be really sad to be so young and then, you know, have to deal with that. But, you know, more and more diseases that people can live with the chronic problem, but eventually, hopefully, he can get a kidney. So going back to COPD, we know that one of the causes of COPD is, and we have another caller. Hi, caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Jerry McLaughlin with Special Guests. By now, you've probably...
I think it's a...
Some kind of recorded.
That's a recorded call. Okay.
Wow, they sounded so human, too.
They did. Well, you know those machines, how they sound. Okay, so how do we diagnose COPD? First of all, we look, and here we have another caller? Or is that the same one?
We'll find out. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you a real person?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful, yay.
Yes, I am a real person.
Awesome.
What's your question, caller?
Well, I am Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
If you would be so kind, I've had some very bitter experiences in my family with smoking, COPD, and lung cancer. And if I could quickly share those, maybe I could help someone.
Okay. God bless you. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a wonderful father, a great big old tough guy, heavy smoker, but he died at age 42.
Oh.
And I never got over that one. It was from his smoking. He had lung cancer. That was in 1949, and we knew that smoking was dirty. It wasted time and money, but we didn't know it would kill you.
Oh.
I just had a small family, only one sibling, and in spite of losing my father, my beautiful talented sister kept on smoking, and she died of COPD. So I lost one half of my family from their smoking, and I just beg you, quit.
Yes. Well, yes. And I hope that you don't smoke, sweetheart.
Oh, you couldn't hire me. Never. No, never. But thank you for your very informative program. I surely appreciate it.
And I'm sure you realize, with both your parents there, that the tobacco addiction is a very, very strong addiction. It's not easy for people to stop smoking.
Oh, I know, because these, of course, my dad didn't try, but my sister tried everything, gum and patches and just whatever the latest rage was, but it did not help her.
It's very, very hard, and my heart goes out to you. And thank you for your testimonial, because it is important. I know maybe if we just have one person say, hey, you know what? Just one person out of this whole show who says, you know, I think I want to live longer, and I want to be around for my kids or grandkids. Thank you, Marilyn. It's very nice that you called.
Well, thank you, dear people, and goodbye now.
Bye-bye, sweetheart. So, and, you know, it really, this is such a common, and, you know, a common illness, the COPD. So how do we diagnose it?
Well, the best way to diagnose, people who are short of breath can see their physician, and that is probably the most common symptom for active COPD. There are confirmatory diagnostic tests like the chest x-rays, CT scans, and whatever. And those are important as well to make sure that the person doesn't have a complication like a tumor or cancer, because 70% of the people who have lung cancer have COPD.
Okay, well, that's what Marilyn talked about her father. So we know that we can diagnose COPD. Now, why is it so important to diagnose it? Because it's progressive, but it's treatable. We can help. I can help you. A doctor can help you. You can help yourself. So progressive shortness of breath or increased shortness of breath with exercise that's persistent. You can also have a chronic cough. You might be producing sputum. You have a history of exposure. You know, a lot of people say, well, I never smoked. Well, we have patients who've never smoked, but they've been exposed secondhand smoke or in their occupation, and also a family history of COPD.
Well, one of the things you just mentioned, secondhand smoke, there's been a great interest in the medical literature in the last year or two about secondhand smoke. Apparently, if you live with somebody who smokes, the smoke residue gets everywhere. It gets on the walls, on the upholstery, and whatever. And that residue goes through some kind of a chemical change that makes it even more noxious than the primary smoke.
Well, that's that, because we see a lot of patients, and you know, they'll say, well, I live with a smoker, they smoke in the car, they smoke in the house, and that's just not good. So we know that COPD is diagnosed by symptoms, by risk factors, and a very important test that we do in my office. And most family doctors are doing this, I hope, and it's called a spirometry. And I'm going to show you what a spirometry is. But first, one of the causes we talked about is shortness of breath. What is shortness of breath? Well, some people experience different. Some people feel like it's a heaviness, like they have to gasp for breath.
Well, one sort of symptom of shortness of breath that everybody can relate to is if you're walking down the street with your mate or with a friend and you can't talk because you got to breathe, then you better, that is a very, very important sign of early COPD. And it used to be thought that you, if you're a jogger as well, that when you're just sort of casually jogging, you ought to still be able to talk and carry on a conversation.
So yes, it's very important to know if you also are gasping. I know I have asthma, and when I feel short of breath, oh, it's a terrible feeling when you start coughing, and you feel like you can't catch your breath, which is another thing. Cough can also be associated with COPD, but there's other causes of cough. Asthma, lung cancer could be causing your cough. TB.
Well, lung cancer causes your cough because it closes off the airway to that portion of the lung where the cancer started.
Also,
allergies?
Allergies. Well, those are the external, but bronchiectasis, congestive heart failure, having interstitial lung disease, cystic fibrosis, which is a congenital disease, and sometimes the unknown cause.
Right. Well, cystic fibrosis used to be called mucoviscidosis because they produce this very, very thick mucus
in the lung.
In the lung that the subject has trouble coughing up.
Another cause of a cough, as you were saying, is allergies. You know, everyone, this past winter has been the most allergic time. People with runny noses, that drips in the back of their throat, that can also cause a cough. Allergic rhinitis, the inflammation in the nose. Reflux, gastroesophageal GERD. Everybody hears, you know, GERD on TV, the Prilosec commercial and everything. GERD. Well, GERD is reflux. The acid reflux can also cause you to cough.
All right.
And certain medications can cause cough. Certain medications, such for blood pressure, are called ACE inhibitors. ACE inhibitors, about 30% of people. So if you have a cough, get it checked out. It's not a normal situation. Find out what is the cause. Everything I talk about on this program is, and we've talked about vascular disease, find the root cause. We also know that you can have associated chest tightness, wheezing, fatigue, weight loss, anorexia can be associated with COPD.
You see, as people get more advanced forms of COPD and they're very short of breath, they even become short of breath when they eat. So the tendency is for the people to eat less. And so if you see somebody, for instance, who has advanced emphysema, they're most likely to be very thin as well.
Well, so, you know, we have about 10 minutes? No, a little bit less. So I guess if anybody wants to try again about what body part am I, because I'm going to have to give it away. It's really important. So right. We're talking about, do you want to tell us what it is, Dr. Katzen?
Well, let's wait a little bit longer. Maybe somebody will call.
Okay. Somebody will call with the what body part am I. So everyone out there,
the first time you've ever stumped the audience.
I can give a hint without giving it away, too. There's more than one.
Yes, there's more than one in your lung. That's a great thing to say. Yeah,
there are actually millions of them.
Yes. All right. So what did we were talking about? What is one of the ways to diagnose COPD? It's a test called a spirometry. So everybody out there, this is what a spirometry, what we have to do. Okay, everyone, let's take a deep breath. And then blow out until you can't stop blowing out anymore. That deep inspiration and that blowout is called your force vital. Well, we got a caller. Hi, caller.
Hi, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
I didn't hear the question, but millions of them in your lungs would be alveoli.
Yes, right caller. On. Right on. You got it. What's your first name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for listening to the program. And we got another caller. Oh, boy. Thank you, Mike. Hi, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Who's this?
This is David.
Hi, David.
Is it the alveola?
Yep, you've got it, too. Boy, we got two people back to back. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Thank you for listening.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay. Wow, we haven't stumped this one took the longest, but thank you, everybody. Yay. So we were talking about spirometry. All right, so what is a spirometry? What is the forced vital capacity? The volume of air that you force exhaling from the point of maximum inspiration. So take a deep breath, take a deep breath in and blow all the way out. So we measure that over a period of time. We call that the forced vital capacity.
And the first second is the most important.
The first second is the most important. And we measure how much volume you blow out in the first second. So we know that if you cannot blow out enough air in the first second, then you must be having obstruction.
Right.
Or loss of
elasticity in the lung. Doesn't necessarily have to be a physical obstruction. It could be that the lung is no longer flexible.
So what we do is we take the FEV1, so this is a math. You take the forced expiratory volume in 1 second and divide it by the total that you blow out. So you blow. And we get a ratio. And if that ratio is less than 70%, then you definitely have a problem there.
That's right. Well, in normal respiration, it only takes 1 second to inhale and 3 to 4 seconds to exhale to all of us as we sit here and breathe.
So this is a very simple test. I do this in my office, and it just gives us a wealth of information. So if you're a smoker, if you have any of these risk factors that we talked about, if you're short of breath, it's such a simple little test that we do. And what were you talking about, too, about birthday candles?
Right. I mean, one of the simple sort of non-medical tests is to take a candle, put it about 6 inches away from your mouth, and if you can't blow that candle out sharply, then you better have a FEV1 done.
Yes, so that's really important that you need the test called a spirometry. Boy, what a simple little test. It doesn't involve any pain. It's simple. You check your lung volume. But boy, how much information.
Well, and also the follow-up to that test is the amount of oxygen in your blood, the percentage of your percentage of oxygen saturation, which you also check on a routine basis.
We do. We check what's called an oximetry, a pulse ox. And we know that if your oxygen level is low in your blood with this pulse ox, then you may also have COPD. And we're going to need to recommend, if it's very low, a blood gas, which is a test that's done where blood is removed to check the oxygen level in your blood. We also do a test where we can go ahead and have you do a walk, a 6-minute walk, to see is your oxygen level going down. So what are the additional ways we diagnose? The chest x-ray, we talked about that. We also look on the chest x-ray to see if there's any skeletal abnormalities.
Well, that's true. And remember that earlier this year we had a program where we were talking about doing a survey CT scanning because of the incidence of cancer in people who have COPD.
And we know that on the chest x-ray, we can see fibrosis, as you were saying before. The skeletal abnormalities like kyphosis, scoliosis can also affect your lung function.
And the barrel chest that occurs.
The enlarged heart, pleural disease. We can see hyperinflation.
Right.
And we can also see increased volume. You said retrosternal space. You said it makes the barrel chest look.
Right, because if you trap air and you can't exhale, in other words, you can inhale but you can't exhale, then the chest responds by trying to get bigger so that you can continue to inhale enough air to change, to be able to exchange oxygen and CO2.
So that's very important. So we talked about how do we diagnose this? Well, we can diagnose this with the most important is a spirometry, your symptoms, and your risk factors. But we have additional ways to diagnose it. The chest x-ray, the CAT scan can tell us information, the amount of oxygen. We also can do if someone has, especially if they're under the age of 40 and they start developing COPD, we look for genetic causes. The alpha antitrypsin deficiency. So what can we do? Now, we're going to talk on our next program about treatment for COPD and what we can do to prevent it from occurring. But remember, the take home, and I think the lady who called Marilyn quit smoking is so valuable. And there, it is never, never, never too late to quit smoking.
Right, because even if you quit smoking, your body takes years to adjust to the to being a non-smoker, and you too as well. I mean, I there are people out there who have quit smoking, and every time somebody lights up a cigarette, they wish they had one too, because the addiction to nicotine is so strong.
So if you're listening to this program and you're a smoker, think about what we're saying. Make a plan. You know, that's one of the one things when I see my patients, being a family doctor, I take care of patients who have diabetes, COPD, high blood pressure, pneumonia. And I always high cholesterol, patients who've had heart attacks, prevention of heart attacks. I always say, okay, Let's make a plan. We know this is the issue. This is the problem. All right. If you're a smoker, let's make a plan.
Right. People need, but also people who are heavy smokers, they need help. They need help from their loved ones, and they also need professional help.
It's very important. And let's see, one of the things we look at in medicine is what we call the differential diagnosis. So not every cough is going to be COPD. It could be other thing. Not every person. Most of people who have COPD, it begins in midlife. The symptoms are slowly progressive, and they usually have a history of cigarette smoking or exposure. Indifference, in contrast, asthma, it's usually early onset, often in childhood. The symptoms can change from day to day in asthma. Symptoms are usually worse at night and in early morning. Usually there's an associated rhinitis, inflammation of the nose, postnasal drip, or even eczema or other inflammatory conditions of the skin. And usually there's a family history of asthma. So not every cough is COPD. Not every cough is asthma. You need to get to the bottom of it. To get to the bottom of it is understanding what is the disease you have. That's so you correct. Can prevent the complications.
Especially for people with asthma. Asthma tends to be a functional disease. In other words, that the bronchi have a muscular wall, and that there is a airway obstruction is caused by a considerable spasm there.
And the narrowing of the airways, you sit on the chest x-ray, you could see that too.
When we have this last winter, for instance, was very bad for allergic cough and whatever, and what we saw on the chest x-ray was a thickening around the most terminal bronchi.
And that inflammation you could see, and people were very short of breath and coughing.
Right. That's what happened, and it was very difficult for them to recover. That's why it took a long time.
Okay, everyone. Well, remember, next week we're going to talk about more about COPD and treatment. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. If you need a family doctor, give us a call at 941-625-1990. And also, if you have a question, you can email me at askdrtriana@triana prevention center. We want to thank Dr. Katzen. We want to thank Zane. And remember, stay healthy. And yes, what can we do to make your life better today? Listen to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues.
Right on.
We're here every Friday from 11 to 12. So stay healthy and don't go down that slippery slope. Thank you.